Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want. Showing love to the hood, even to the birds. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest spaceship showing love to underground artists. Yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is All Things Sports. Big Mike, my man C. Miller is out there, but he's en route. He should be here shortly. We got a big show today. Lots to get to. Big games this weekend, divisional playoff games. Some good football was played this weekend. We also have a couple coaching hires. We're going to get to the A-Rod stuff. Is nothing but drama. We're going to touch a little bit on the Hall of Fame ballot from last week and how bad it was. And we're going to have a new segment, hopefully a weekly segment, depending on how it goes this week. We're going to call it This or That. We'll explain it more to you later as time goes on. Right now, we're going to have a little commercial break. Hopefully by then, my man C. Miller will be ready to go. So stay with us. We got a lot to get to. We'll be back.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Cowboy. Cowboy.
Well, I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to piss, and I'm a kid rocking up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. C. Miller is officially in the building today.
Omaha.
Almost had to call an audible, but I made it.
Today, all of our lead-in music is going to be people's birthday this week. That was Mr. Kid Rock. Mr. Miller, how old do you think Kid Rock is this week? Give me a guess.
I'm going 41.
Good guess. He is 43. Kid Rock is 43 this week. But this is a sports show, so let's get to the sports. We're going to talk a little bit about the divisional playoffs this week. Good football. All the games were fairly close, except for maybe the Colts and Patriots, not so close. But Panthers and Niners weren't really that close either. But we'll start off with the Saints and the Seahawks. Mr. Miller, anything you take away from that game? What you like? What you didn't like? What did you think?
I thought it was a good game. Seattle survived in advance, and I thought that would happen. And ready to go this week. I think that sets up a great matchup for the two young elite quarterbacks in the league, Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick.
Is Russell Wilson elite?
As far as the young guys up and coming, I think he's definitely elite. I know he's had a couple bad games, and I was just going to get into that. I think he didn't play well. He didn't play well Sunday. But, that doesn't scare me off the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC, and I think they've been that all year. And I think we'll see that again this week as they have a home game against the 49ers. And, I just didn't think the Saints had enough. They went up there. We talked about the game plan that they had last week. And, I think they did a good job, and I think they try to keep it close. And the defense played really well under Rob Ryan. And they just didn't have enough to get past that defense. That's a secondary that's elite, even without my man that's suspended for the drug.
Browner, yeah.
Yeah, for the positive test there. They still look good. They don't seem to miss him in the back end of that defense. And they're just loaded up everywhere on the defensive side of the ball. And that's the one thing that I took away more than anything is just I'm excited for these two matchups we got this week. I think both AFC and NFC are going to be great this week.
I do think we the good thing about it is I agree. I do think we have the best four teams remaining. So that's a good thing. However, I will say about this the Saints Seahawks game. My problem was I feel like the Saints offense actually let the Seahawks offense let the Saints back in the game. In the second half, they were very vanilla, just run right, run left. Now they're throwing on 3rd and 8. That defense was on the field. I think I sent you a text. In the third quarter, that defense looks like they couldn't do anything wrong, and then all of a sudden, too much time on the field, the offense going 3 and out over and over and over again.
But, see, I would argue back that last week we sat here and talked about coaches not running the ball in the second half and getting out of there with the victory rather than trying to show out and score more points. They make sure that they got the win, and I think that's what you do in the playoffs.
Well,
I really didn't have a problem with it, and it really, like I said, going forward, it doesn't really scare me off the Seahawks and their chances of getting to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think there's a difference between going all out and playing – just not to lose. I mean, they really –
that's how coaches get fired.
I mean, you can't go 3 and out repeatedly. You leave your defense out there too much. They let their offense get into a little bit of a rhythm, I thought. I'm not saying that you come out there like, you don't do no cowboy stuff. You're not throwing, slam passes on first down. But, a little play action here and there never killed anybody, and there was none of that in the second half. It was just Lynch right, Lynch left. And then, you put Russell Wilson in a 3rd and 8. You got a 2-receiver read. Neither one of them is open, and now you're punting again, which, with their defense, there's no harm in punting, but you still have to try to move the ball a little bit. That's just, if I had a knock on the Seahawks, that would be it. I do think they were the superior team. They would have won that game anyway. What did you think of the Marcus Colston – not stepping out of bounds.
Man, watching it live, I yelled at the TV. What are you doing? That's a guy just not being aware of the situation. Not being in the game really is all you can explain that because he should have known what to do. He's right by the sideline. He gives his team one more chance to make a play. And just debacle is all you can really say.
That was a debacle. So, Saints are done. Real quick, let me give you the number if you're out there listening live. It's 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you got to think about any of these games. Now, moving on to the second game of the week, Colts and Patriots. Many people said last week was Andrew Luck's coming out party. I mean, I'm sold on Andrew Luck. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, I think I am too. We talked about this last week. He didn't have the guys around him. You know, it was a team with a bad defense and a bad offensive line. And, you know, the receiver Reggie Wayne injury finally caught up to him. And, you know, believe me, I had confidence in Andrew Luck. I thought Andrew Luck might be able to keep that game close for him, just because I didn't really believe in the Patriots as much as maybe I do this week. You know, they kind of showed. I thought they showed me something more than I expected, and really thought. You know, I thought that game would be in the 20s, and I thought Andrew Luck could definitely put up, you know, 21, 24 points where they would have been able to keep that close. But New England was just brutal with that run. They, you know. And that's, you know, getting back to the bad Colts defense, that's the team that couldn't stop the run off here. But, they, you know, they really proved that they've kind of found something with LeGarrette Blount after, you know, running Ridley and Vereen and Bolden and different people throughout the year and kind of having a running back by committee. It kind of looks like they found a guy for the playoffs.
And I like the fact that Belichick game plans to who he's playing against more so than, you know, he doesn't have that whole, well, Tom Brady's got to throw 40 times a game. Like you said, he knew the Colts' run defense was horrible. He hunkered down. He ran the football. I think Brady only threw like 19 or 20 times the whole game. And that's what you got. I mean, you got a game plan. You got a game plan for who you're playing against. And that's why anytime there's one game to be won, you know, everybody say you have a coach one game to win for your life. I'm taking Belichick. He always comes up or seemingly comes up with the best opportunity for his team to win. I thought he'd done that this week.
Does that mean you're taking Belichick this week?
Well, hold on, man. We'll get to that.
That's too early to talk.
That's coming. That's coming, but we'll get to that. But, no, I do think that that game was that you're right, that running attack and Blount in that running attack for what they got for him. I think they traded Jeff Dempse and a pick for Blount. It seems like it's well worth it. He's the back that everyone thought he was going to be. And the only problem he had in Tampa Bay was holding on to football. So.
Right, because he's ran well the last couple of years in limited duty there. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think everybody that won the rushing battle won their game. So, you know, playoff football is being tougher than the man across from you. Running the ball, being physical, I think even Denver was able to be physical, where the talk on them is they haven't been physical all year. And along with that, I think every team that passed was the most yards lost. So,
right.
It's good to see after a year of, you know, we just we watch football on a week-to-week basis, and a lot of the talk this year was no defense, fantasy stats everywhere, just, you know, teams going up and down, Manning throwing for the 50-plus touchdowns he threw for. I really enjoyed the playoff football. It's football that I grew up watching, and I'm glad it's back.
I will say this about the Colts game. I am sold on Andrew Luck. However, I do get sick of there's so many quarterback apologists on all the shows. Like, he threw four picks. Okay, like, you know,
I didn't, yeah.
We can get into whose fault they were and all that other stuff, but the bottom line is he threw four picks. Even he got up to the microphone and said, hey, the four picks are on me. But, like, you watch ESPN, you watch Trent Dilfer, like, oh, the receiver needs to fight for the ball and this guy needs to do this. Like, hey, I mean, all you guys quarterbacks. Sometimes you just throw picks. He threw four picks. He's a good player who threw four picks. I quite apologize every time a quarterback throws a pick these days. That's my early rant.
Yeah, you watch too much ESPN because these guys, as I've went, you know, in the last couple of years, I've gotten away from a lot of the shows that ESPN do with NFL Network and Fox Sports now. I've gotten away from ESPN because they're terrible. I heard on the radio that all they were talking about was the Omaha thing this morning, and they're talking about a bunch of garbage I don't care about. So.
Right. Yeah,
they're not breaking down games. They're trying to – all these guys on ESPN are trying to be stars, so they're talking about a bunch of stuff I don't care about.
I mean, you can say that, but a lot of the people on Fox were hired off ESPN, so.
No, I know, and I mean, they're trying to follow ESPN's blueprint, and I'm not saying what they have is better or anything like that. I
actually like Fox better right now. Right now, I do.
I'm just saying, as much of ESPN as I used to watch, I've – for whatever reason, it's starting to lose me. And a lot of it is just bad. They're hiring bad analysts and people that – there's a lot of people that want to be in the spotlight. I think that's what ESPN's about, and I think they're pushing up their guys. You know, be
funny, be provocative.
Be funny,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
All right. Moving on, next game, Panthers and Niners. I actually believe it or not, did not get to watch this game. Unfortunately, I saw most of the highlights, however. So since I didn't get to watch I watched a little bit of the end, but since I didn't get to watch the whole game, I will. What did you get to watch it? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I got to watch parts of it. I was doing a little work, so I was coming in and out of watching it. But I'll say this: this is the one game that I was the most surprised about. And you know, kind of after it was over, it kind of makes sense. You know, a more experienced team went in there, and a team that's been there, done that. Kind of, you know, they went in there and did what they had to do. And I'll admit, going in, I thought Cam would outplay Kaepernick. I know it was his first playoff game. I just had a lot of confidence in him. I thought that he would show out. You know, I doubted him many times. I doubted him in the BCS championship. He burned me up a few times, so I thought, you know, I kind of finally jumped on board and said Cam's going to have a big game and I'll play Kaepernick. And I thought the defenses were similar where, you know, I thought it would be a field goal game one way or the other. I wanted the Panthers, so, you know, I was cheering my heart. And as far as what happened, man, the better team won.
Right.
The Panthers had a halftime lead, and they were actually the victim of a few bad calls in the first half and kind of left some plays on the field in the first half. They had a 4-1 on the goal line that they didn't get. They ended up turning the next series, the 49ers went three and out and punted, and they turned that into the Steve Smith touchdown, I'm sure you saw. But, you know, that hurt. You got three chances inside the three-yard line, and you can't get in.
Right.
That's how you lose playoff games.
I saw that. If I'm, you know, I'm no coach, I'm not second-guessing anyone, but why don't you, you know, when they're on the goal line, they came up in the shotgun and run that little guard over thing, like, it's almost unstoppable. Like, every play I've seen him run from the goal line, he was under center. Like, I don't understand why, like, when he goes over the top or they run that little, the guard pulls and Cam gets out there like a running back, like, it's unstoppable. I was surprised they didn't try to run that on the goal line at all. Did they? Like I said, I didn't get to watch the game.
And like I said, I was in and out of watching it. I was actually kind of watching that little sequence on my phone, so I didn't see exactly what plays they ran there. But I'll say this: I know when Carolina got off to a slow start too. I was watching all the games at the first of the season, and I thought they were poorly coordinated. I didn't think they were using Cam correctly and a few different things like that. And I know they kind of got it together, but that offense is still kind of bogged down, and I'll say this is the first thing they need to do in the draft is address the
receiver. Oh, yeah.
They
we talked about that, yeah.
They're terrible at receiver. And, you know, like I said, maybe that's the one bad pick I made this week because I really did think Carolina would be right in there, and they just weren't ready. So,
I agree. I think Carolina is a receiver, you know, maybe an offensive lineman away from really, really being good. And I agree. I still think they're not using Cam the right way. I still think there's too many, I think they should use him more the way Harbaugh uses Kaepernick. You know, slide his pocket. Like, there's too many straight dropbacks for Cam. Like, you need to slide his pocket, give him some run-pass options. If you don't have any run-pass options, it's usually he's just dropping straight back or there's a quarterback run. Like, he...
No, I agree 100%, but since we're not quarterback apologists on the show, I got to get on Cam, too, because he's holding the ball.
He's holding the ball.
I mean, he's hitting his back foot, and, I mean, every NFL quarterback's coach, they know what to do when they hit their back foot. They got to make a decision at that time. And you know, he just looked like the moment was a little bit too big for him in the second half. He just doesn't have right now, and I'm not saying he can't be coached or gain that through different things, but he just doesn't have that comeback ability, really. He can't throw accurately enough to bring a team back once they fall behind.
Right. And I'm not a part of that, but I'm saying that, like, the way Harbaugh uses Kaepernick is when he drops back, he's got like a two-receiver read. And if neither one of those guys are there, he's gone. He's out of the pocket. And I think the problem with Cam is they got him reading the whole field, and I really, you know, call it whatever you want to call it. He's not ready for that. He's not ready. Like Kaepernick's only – or most players, Kaepernick's reading one side of the field. Cam's not Peyton Manning. He can't read. I don't think he's ready to read the whole field yet. And that's most of the pass plays got him reading the whole field. Like you say, he hits his back foot. And he doesn't. His first read's covered. He doesn't get to that second or third read quick enough. He's not ready for that. He probably should be, but he's not. And I think you need to change the offense more to suit what he does best.
Who coordinates there? Do you know?
Shula, Mike Shula. Anybody last name Shula probably.
Well, he hasn't. I don't know that he's ever done two.
Before that, it was last year. It's the guy who just got fired in Cleveland. So, Chudzinski.
Maybe it's a quarterback.
We're not quarterback apologists. I'm not on. We'll just say Cam needs to get better in a lot of areas, but I think he could be coached up a little bit different as well. But we'll move on to game four, the Chargers and Broncos. I watched this game. I thought the Chargers did everything they could do to lose this one. Don't get me wrong, the Broncos played well, but no. I guess that third. Did you see the 3rd and 17? They stopped. Chargers stopped to get the ball back, but they leave Julius up. Julius Thomas was wide open on the sideline.
The Broncos better get ready this week because I think if you're the Chargers going to that game and say we're going to hold Denver to 24 points, you got to like your chances.
Chargers should have won that game. I think.
Yeah, they should have. They just they didn't have any yards in the first half. The first half killed them. And,
I think they took too long to change their game plan. They came up trying to run the football. In the third quarter, still trying to run the football. After a while, I think if they had opened it up, once they opened up the offense, when they started moving the ball, they should have done that a little bit sooner.
Yeah, they should have done that sooner. I was sitting there thinking the same thing because, especially I understand going into the game that, the game plan was to keep time of possession. You fell behind. You needed to open it up sooner, and I think, Wizard Hunt.
So all those dang interviews he was going on, he wasn't ready.
Yeah, he made a mistake, and with your top back out too, Ryan Matthews is out.
Right.
So even more so, they should have came out of that sooner because Woodhead's not a carry the load guy.
Ronnie Brown isn't anymore.
No, Ronnie Brown never was for that matter.
That's true.
He's a guy
that a couple good years in Miami when he was playing. Well, Ricky, I forgot.
I don't know.
Him and Ricky Williams were both good on that team, so I guess he wasn't really carrying the load, so you're right.
I'd be willing to put a red hook on the fact that he doesn't have a 1,200-yard season, I don't think.
He doesn't.
Really, he's not a dominant guy. He ran the Wildcat. Well, like I said, like you said, he kind of transcended the Wildcat. He was kind of the first guy that really did it well. But other than that, Ronnie Brown was a top five bust.
Where'd he go? He was third, wasn't he?
Him and the Lack from the same team.
Yeah, bus.
Him and Cadillac. Cadillac blew the knee out a couple times, so that doesn't not make him a bus, but that's still it's a little easier to not to talk stuff about.
Bus. I'm gonna say bus.
All these top five guys, and I think we're gonna see that going forward in the NFL.
One's drafting a running back.
No one's drafting a running back in the first round because it's a horrible decision. Trent Richardson. Mark Ingram. I mean, that's all we got in the last few years. The GM of the team. They're ahead of us.
That's a good point. If you get Eddie Lacy at the end of the second round, why wouldn't you? He was at the end of the second, right? He's probably the best back. He's the best rookie back this year. So they got him in the second. Giovanni Bernard, they got in the middle of the second. So.
And that trend has been happening for years. We had Terrell Davis. He was kind of one of the first to start that.
Right.
I think there's so many good backs now. Kind of what I've heard is that the talent between the second and the sixth round is really dependent on how you grade someone or what you need or how he fits your scheme. There's not a big difference between the guy you're drafted in the sixth round versus the second round. So
I guess if you here's a good question, kind of off subject, but Kadeem Carey just came out. Should backs come out early then? What should they say?
Well, I think from their perspective,
it doesn't matter. They're going to get drafted. No matter if he goes back to U of A and has a same year or even a worse year, he'll still get drafted somewhere between 3 and 6 anyway.
For that reason, and then for also to not put the miles on your tires because, and also to get to the league, and then if you can have a magical season or a huge season. Then that way you get to your second contract
quicker. Right.
Because otherwise, we all know, we've heard the little cliche that running backs only have so many carries. There's not many guys that last for years and years. And
they always, we talked about this too before off air, when running backs go, they fall off a cliff. It's not a gradual decline. We talked about Sean Alexander, 1 year you're the best running back in football. Next year you can't get a job
Larry Johnson. This guy he ran for 2,000 almost 2 years in a row, was killing it, was trying to get all that money. As soon as they paid him, I don't know if he ever ran for 500 yards up there, and then was out of the league in a couple of years.
Right.
There's a lot of those cases. We haven't seen, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's been a back within the last 5 to 7 years that I would say is, you know, a long-term Hall of Famer other than, I mean, AP's out there right now and he's going to fall in. And then we've seen the end of Tomlinson's career. But there was a lot of those guys in the 90s, Curtis Martins and Bettises and Sanders and Emmitt Smiths and things like that where, you know, the running back is starting to become you know, see these committees and different things.
It's actually become a situational position. You know,
you're expendable now.
Yeah, you have your, you know, the Patriots, like you said, are a good example of this. You have your running back for short yardage, pounding the ball. You got your pass catcher. You got your blocker. Like, if you're a running back, and we saw this with the guy, the Cardinals guy, you better learn how to play special teams because if you're a running back, the only way they're going to keep a lot of these second and third string running backs is if you can play special teams. So, what's the guy's name? You know, I'm thinking about the Cardinals guy. Who,
yeah, Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams.
He didn't see one active this year.
Right.
So he got in the doghouse. But to finish up with the four games this week, I mean, we didn't really talk too much about the Broncos, but really all I wanted to get in was I think the Broncos are going to. I think they're in trouble. They didn't look good to me. Having to play Tom Brady is going to be tough, and they better be ready. I know they got home field. They're favored. 4.5 points, I looked before the show started. I don't see that unless
– I heard it started at 7.
It started at 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah. The Sharps hammered it.
Yeah.
Because,
I was driving home from work, and I heard the guys on Fox say it started at 7, and within – before the end of the day, it was already down to 5.5.
Yeah, and rightfully so, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, or maybe they're, you know, maybe they'll get it together. And I'll be honest with you, I'm cheering for the Broncos to win. I want the Broncos to win. I've been saying all year I want Peyton Manning to get to the Super Bowl and lose. So I'm going to root for the Broncos this week. But, they were very unimpressive to me. I know there's a lot of people that most people I talk to, you know, just around the water cooler and whatnot, most people are saying Seahawks and Broncos in the bowl. And really, it could be the other two teams that they're leaving out. Or, you know, I'm saying Seahawks for sure. They were very unimpressive against a bad San Diego team, a San Diego team that got a little bit better once Manti Te'o got hurt. I'm just joking, but hey, that guy once again is just terrible. So
he is terrible.
He is, and they really.
They'll find out more next year how terrible. They probably already know, but they'll find out for sure. Like. He'll get a whole year of the mini camps and all that stuff. And they'll find out he can't play. He's slow. He's not physical enough to be an NFL middle linebacker, I don't think. I mean, he was a good coverage guy in college, but he wasn't really ready. I don't think he's ready for the physicality of the NFL game.
And I don't know. I don't know that he's a good cover guy, honestly. But who knows?
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Go ahead and give them the number. Call us up. Try to argue with me why the Seahawks are going to get beat this week because I can't see it. I need somebody other than Mike to argue with me about why the Seahawks aren't going to make it to the Super Bowl. So.
The number is 718-766-4553. You know, if you want to talk about anything, give us a call. About anything. We haven't had a call in
quite a few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are scared or what, but call in.
All right. We'll be back with All Things Sports.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce My dad, because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot. But I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
Here we go. Here we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy birthday out there, DJ Quick. Chris, how big DJ Quick is?
You DJ, know DJ Quick. Quick is? Man, you know what?
You're a young cat, so you might not know.
I know some DJ Quick music. If I had to pick him out of a lineup, I might be in trouble. But I'm gonna say, DJ Quick. Let's see, we're going 25. I'm gonna say DJ Quick is 53.
He's 44.
Okay.
DJ Quick is my age. Do I look 53? Is that what you're telling me? It's okay. You don't have to answer. It's all right.
Okay, all right. I'm ducking dodge that one.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week we're going to try a new little segment we call This or That. I am going to give Mr. Miller every week a list of names, cities, et cetera, et cetera, and he's going to have to pick between this or that. This week's This or That is NFL quarterbacks. I'm going to give him a list of names. He can tell me if they're going to have that 5 years from now. Is that quarterback playoff caliber, or is that team looking for a new quarterback? You understand the rules about giving them to you.
This or that. This or that.
I think I got it, man.
I should have
had that.
Yeah.
See, I'm not very good at this producing side of things, but all right. So I'm going to use that as music next week. But anyway, moving on. So our first quarterback for the NFL is Tampa Bay's Mike Glennon. Is he the guy or not the guy?
Give me a this. I think Mike Glennon's the guy. I like him coming out in the draft. I mentioned to you that I think that was pre-show, but I like him coming out, and I was impressed by what he did this year. He's a rookie, and he was a later round guy where he probably didn't get the reps and training habit and whatnot. But I think he knew how to find Vincent Jackson, and he knew how to go to the right guys, and he played for a bad team. That team had some disarray. It going into the season, I actually thought Tampa Bay could maybe make a run. Things didn't go well there. And when I say that, I guess your rules were that it was for the next 5 years. I'm a little skeptical. I know I sound confident, but I'm a little skeptical in that. And maybe that can he win a Super Bowl? I don't know. I mean, put some pieces around him and we'll see. But he seems to hold on to the ball. He's got a lightning arm. I'm going this.
All right, I'm with you. I thought he saved the coach's job. Actually, I thought as soon as they got rid of Freeman and they put him in the lineup, they won what? They went in with four wins. They're 0-8. They went 4-4 for the rest of the stretch. So yeah, I thought he was better than any option they had. I thought he played well given the circumstances that he was kind of just thrown to the wolves. So. Yeah, I'll go with this. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know if he's a Super Bowl quarterback, but it was his first year, so he's still on the time to tell kind of way of looking at it.
Right,
but
he didn't really get a benefit from having Doug Martin back there either. So
right. All right, so okay, we're both good on Mike Glennon. Our second quarterback is the Jets' Geno Smith. The
Geno.
The guy or not the guy?
Geno is a better name for a pizza salesman. I'm gonna say he's that. He was a good college quarterback, and I don't want to hate on the guy too much. I mean, he won some games this year and was a rookie and was able to do some nice things. So let me first say that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch a ton of Jets games. I'm a big accuracy guy and a big strength of arm guy. I just don't see him as somebody that's going to sit in there and be accurate and hit his back foot and really hit the right guys. For that reason, I'm going to say that. We'll see. They got to get another cap for Rex Ryan. They got to get some quarterback guys in there to try to help develop him. And, they got a good defense around him, so he's going to continue to win some games. But I wouldn't want him on my team.
I wouldn't want him on my team, and not only that, I think I've said this in earlier shows. When he's bad, he's really bad. I've seen him make throws where I have no idea who he's throwing the ball to. I don't think he's the guy there, and I think he'll be gone here in 2 or 3 years. However, I will say this. The Jets were so quick to get rid of Sanchez ain't the guy, whatever. So they drafted Geno. I don't think Rex is so much like his dad. I don't think you can develop a quarterback under Rex. He put so much of his time and energy and his resources into the defense. I would want to go to that team as a quarterback. I don't know if you could. Buddy was the same way. I don't know if you could really develop a quarterback under Rex. And I don't think Rex really cares as long as the defense is good. So, but given that, I don't think Geno's the guy either way. But I think he's a bad quarterback, but I think he's also in a bad situation. Next, our third quarterback is E.J. Manuel. How do we feel about E.J. Manuel? This or that? Is he the guy or not the guy?
Never heard of him. No, I joke. E.J., some good questions. To the listening audience out there, I don't know who's coming, so I wasn't ready for EJ, but I'm gonna say EJ's not the guy. I haven't seen anything. I know he had a couple good games and a couple bad games this year, and dealt with some injuries. But from the games I watched him play in, I gotta go that. He actually has some offensive weapons around him. I know he's young. He's got the tools. He's got the arm. He's got a few different things. He's mobile. I just don't see it. He wasn't a winner in college. He never really jumped off the page when he was in college, and I think that's something for me. I didn't like him coming out in the draft, and I really didn't see anything this year that changed me, so I'm going that.
I'm going that. I think he's a guy who moved up the draft board simply because he interviewed well. Everyone talked about, you talk to this guy, he sounds like he's a 10-year vet. He interviewed well. He's a character guy.
Character only gets you so far.
I've never really been told, on character making you a better player or not a better player. The question is, can you play? I think he sold his character. Good for him. He went high on the draft. He made some money because he was able to, sit in the chair and sound good. But even at Florida State, I wasn't really wild by his skill set. So.
Nah, he actually sucked at Florida State.
Yeah, so. I'm going with that. How about Ryan Tannehill?
Ryan Tannehill, I got to go this with Ryan Tannehill. He's had a couple good seasons out there with limited help up front. That's been a bad offensive line since he's been there. Other than Pouncey at center, I think it's been a brutal offensive line. And, he's mobile. He's got the arm. He needs to develop a little bit. You can't expect too much in year one or year two. He was a receiver in college for a little while, so he's still new to the game. He's put up numbers, and maybe I'm looking too much at yardage and different things like that, but I think Ryan Tannehill can – I think he went out there in Miami with – you're going to see a changing in the guard of that division. As soon as Tom Brady's gone, which, he's got about two years left probably, I would say, at an elite level, and then Tommy B can't do it forever. So, I think if Tannehill plays the start of it, I think Miami would probably be the favorite to rise to the top of the division, if you just ask me. The rest of that division's quarterbacks, I think he's the best of the bunch, aside from Brady, and I think that'll kind of open up for him.
Have they hired an offensive coordinator there yet? They just fired Sherman, I know that.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't think they have. I haven't heard it.
I think that's going to be a big step into his development, because I agree with you. I think he, because he did play receiver his first 2 years in college, I think he's still developing into what quarterback needs to be. But I like his footwork. I like his foot speed, actually. And he doesn't look like the game's too big for him or too fast for him, which is something else I like. I think he's the goods. I just they've been waiting for a quarterback since Dan Marino days to come and who could play. So, you know, I think that's good for that franchise if he's the guy. But I think his next few years depend on who they hire to be that offensive coordinator.
You ever seen his wife?
No, she not.
She looks pretty good. She ain't no Blake Bortles girlfriend, but.
Blake Bortles? See, now you got me Googling things during the break.
Oh, man, if you haven't Googled Blake Bortles' girlfriend, you're out of your mind. My goodness, she's fine.
All right. So, Tannehill's got a high. All right. Okay, good to know. All right.
Yeah, those guys are doing good for themselves.
I mean, they're quarterbacks. Like, A.J. McCarron's not even that good. You've seen this chick, so.
This chick, I am super attracted to this chick. I cannot lie, but she is 7 feet tall, too.
She is tall.
Oh, I don't know how tall she is, but she's tall.
I'm a little older than you, so I can say this. Have you seen A.J. McCarron's mom?
I have. I don't recall what she looks like.
I would say nice things to A.J. McCarron's mom if I wasn't already spoken for.
You want those older women? See, I'm trying to get with Bortles, bro.
So you want the? I mean, that's what 21, 22. Man, come on, man. You gotta move up.
And if my wife is out there listening, I am just saying that for radio purposes only.
Me
you know,
too.
So
me too.
This is all stage.
All right, our next guy is Nick Foles. Listen to that.
Nick Foles, man, he made me a believer as the season went on. If you'd asked me a few weeks ago, I might have said that. But I think he fits well in that offense. I think maybe somewhere else he wouldn't be as good. But he showed me a lot in that playoff game. I know they lost it, but like kind of like you just mentioned with a couple other guys, the moment didn't seem too big for him. And once again, tools, strong arm, good pocket guy, can move if he needs to, has some weapons around him. So, I think he's in the driver's seat there, and he should be there for years to come.
He made me a believer, too. I was, I would say for the first 8 weeks of that season, I was, with Michael Vick's healthy, he should be back in, but every week he just kept playing better and better and better. And before you know it, I don't think I mentioned Michael Vick, so we said something about it last week on the show. So, no, he made a believer out of me. I'm definitely on the Nick Foles bandwagon. All right, our next guy is Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Now I know it would be easy to say that because of his recent transgressions and bad playoff play and different things, but I'm going to say this. Those of you that watch Hard Knocks, he seems to be well-liked there in the clubhouse. He seems to be a guy that will study and do the things necessary to get better. He does have, back to tools, he doesn't have that laser arm that you need. But, if you build a team around him and you get him not to turn the ball over, you coach him up. He got rid of his problem in Jay Gruden going to tank the Redskins. I think he exists. And, hopefully, Mike's agree with me every once. So, I'd like to hear a little disagreement.
This would be the first one. I'm saying that. Listen to what you just said. If you do this, if you do this, if you build this, if you build that, if you got to do all that, then he's not the guy. Like, that's too, like, you know.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that's in place already, though. I just he played a bad game last week. But
that's just it.
His team.
I'm not even basing it on last week. I just don't. He doesn't strike me as the guy who, like, okay.
He just played a season where he earned a home playoff game.
All right.
Won his division.
And they got two good runners. They got two good running backs and a good defense there, and the truth of the matter is those things will get you to the playoffs. Like, let me ask you this. If I need a drive to win a game, do I go to Andy Dalton? No, I don't.
You could argue Baltimore has good running backs and a good defense, and they're not in the playoffs.
Baltimore, they got their ring. You can't. Flacco's not even on my list because you can't knock him. He's got his ring. Andy Dalton, we're talking about a guy who's still trying to get
there.
Right,
but he just this season beat those guys to get to the playoffs.
We're talking about the season, though.
So you're saying
anyone
can make the playoffs. I disagree.
I'm not saying anyone can make the playoffs, but we saw that when he got in the playoffs and he needed to step up his game, he couldn't do it. He's the guy who's going to get you there. He's not the guy who's going to get you to the big dance. He'll get you in the room with all the other guys that's going to the dance, but you're not going to the dance with that guy. in my opinion.
But there's plenty of guys that have won Super Bowls that lost their first or their second playoff game and then got things right and survived an event.
I think it's possible that we've seen the best that Andy Dalton has to give us already.
We'll see. Mark that in your little book right there.
All right.
Let me know next year.
I got my book. I'll mark it. All right. Our next quarterback is Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford cannot stay healthy. I got to go that with Sam Bradford. All the tools. I think he's a smart guy. You know, prototypical number one overall pick. He just doesn't win. I don't know. He's you know, a lot of people have said he hasn't had receivers and different things like that. But kind of, you know, maybe piggybacking off Mike's argument. If you got to do a bunch of things to make him good, then he's not the guy. And I think, you know, that's this is kind of going off topic, but, you know, you talked last week about maybe Johnny Manziel having injury concerns. Well, Sam Bradford's 6'4", 230, 40 pounds, and he gets injured every year. So, I think anybody, you know, it's about taking hits, and he's just not mobile enough, man. He gets somehow, someone always gets in his knees or
I heard a comparison.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I
heard a comparison not too long ago. Not that they're the same guy, between from a physical standpoint, Sam Bradford and Matt Leinart. And the reason both of those guys get hurt is even though they have size, they don't have the body type to be an NFL quarterback. Like their release is too long, so their torso's open too long. They get hit. There's a lot of shoulder injuries with that. There's a lot of leg injuries with that. I don't know how true that is. This is something I heard on the radio, but that might be a reason he gets hurt. I'm going with that as well, just because he can't stay healthy. I've seen good moments, not enough of them, because, you know, by game eight of every year, he's on IR. So
he's going to have a good team around him next year. So I think next year is a make or break year for him. And
I think he's that guy.
The division that he's in, I think he's getting broke.
I think good for him. I think Sam Bradford's that guy who. We're going to look up 7-8 years from now, he's still in the league as a backup somewhere. He's that guy. Like, he'll always get picked up because he's smart. He does have the physical tools. But I don't think he's going to be a starter in the league after next year. So I'll go with that as well.
So the Rams should draft a quarterback at number two.
If I'm the Rams and I really like one of the quarterbacks, yeah, I go get him.
Wow.
Because you figure who's going to be the number two pick, Clowney?
Yeah, but if you do that, that means Sam. He's not going to play well this year, though. I mean, they're not going to do that.
Because I don't think they're.
They've already put all their eggs in that basket. They got to give them one more year to win with that defense.
I don't think
they. You got Zach Stacy now.
There's no. I'll put it to you like this: if this was Andrew Luck, RG3 draft, they take a – well, actually, that's not true because they traded out, so maybe not. So maybe they sold on Sam Bradford.
Yeah, they're sold.
Okay, you're right. You're right. They traded out, so maybe not. All right. Alex Smith. This or that.
Is Alex Smith too old to be on this or that?
He's 28.
I don't know. I mean, he's the same draft as Aaron Rodgers and a few people you're not putting on this list. But
I'm not putting Aaron Rodgers on the list because he's this.
Well, yeah, no, and I understand that, but I'm just saying – 5 years, he's going to be a grandfather. But I'm going to go, he's this. He's a proven winner.
They don't get hit until they play until they're 38, so he can be in the league 10 more years.
Is he 28? Do you have that on your stat sheet?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
What year did he get drafted? 05? He's not 28.
So what, that's 7 years ago? He came out of junior year, which would make him 21.
22.
Okay, he's 28, he's 29 at the oldest.
I'll do my research on the break on that. But to get back on topic, I'm going to go he's this. He's won some games the last couple of years on multiple teams. You know, he's not somebody that jumps off the TV screen or the paper at you, but he definitely has enough to get it done. He's accurate. I know you've kind of been on both sides of this fence. I've heard you make arguments for both, so. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but for me, he's a guy, I think, once again, I don't know if this or that means you're going to win a Super Bowl, but he's a winner.
Playoff caliber.
Yeah, he's a winner. If he's on my team, I'm happy with him. I'm not looking for another guy, and so I think he's this.
I think he He proved it to me this year, at the end of this year, and in the playoff game. I think he's this. I think he, you know, I think he's more, I think, you know I keep hearing game manager, game manager, game manager. I think he's a little better than the game manager, actually. I think he can, he has the potential to be, you know, not great. He's never going to, like you said, he's not going to jump off the screen at you, but he'll be good enough to where, like I said, he's good enough to where I don't think I'm looking for another quarterback anytime soon, so I'll go with this. We got a couple more here. Since Ken Whittington just got hired, where are we at on Jake Locker? This or that?
Jake Locker is bad. I don't even know that he'll start game one next year, to be honest with you. He's proven not to be accurate. That was the knock on him in the draft. At one point as a junior at Washington, they had him as a number one overall prospect. They got some more tape on him. They realized he just wasn't the guy. So, for me, Jake Locker is going to be that. With Wisenhunt coming in, you know, he's got to prove himself to the new coach. And sometimes that spells disaster for a quarterback. And I expect him, I know they got Fitzpatrick in there. I don't know what veterans are available. I expect him to bring in another veteran, or depending on if, you know, if somebody's sitting there when they pick, then I think they may make a move and draft a quarterback in maybe round one or maybe round two and try to develop a guy, because Locker's just not the guy. He's not accurate enough, and that's the name of the game in the NFL. And from what I've seen, he's been inaccurate. And he's actually, you know, even going dating back to college, he's actually another guy that seemed to get hurt. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for taking hits in the league, and you know, Locker's that. I think a lot of people would argue that passing offense improved when he went down. So I know the record was better, and you know they were playing better football when he was in there. But I think a lot of the change happened on the defensive side of the ball. So Jake Locker, that.
I agree. Jake Locker is that. I don't really like agreeing with you this much.
You're just stealing my answers. You should have to go first.
All right. Anyway, next week I'll go first. But I'll say, was Jake Locker good in college? Like, I saw Jake Locker play at Washington. He won the game at BYU. That was impressive. I remember that. But other than that, like, he always seemed like a project to me. He seemed like a guy who had, you know, who could run but couldn't, like, he's never been a good passer. Like, even in college, he wasn't a good, like, throw over the football. Like, he was a guy who could make plays with his legs. You know, he can make when the play breaks down, he can make something happen. But I've never been sold on Jake Locker. I think that they drafted him way too high. I don't think he's ever really been – I mean, you know, maybe Wisenhunt can – like, I don't think Wisenhunt is good with quarterbacks who aren't superstars anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen there. Like, maybe he's looking for the next guy already, but no, I'm not. I've never been sold. I was sold on Jake Locker in Washington, so for me, he's got to be that.
Last
one. And you might be surprised he's on the list, but RG3, this or that.
RG3, did you see his Twitter thing?
Apology, yeah. Not apology, but was he explaining himself? What was he doing?
How old is he? Is he still in high school, or is he?
I guess he put it up on Twitter and Facebook, so he wants everyone to see it. But, yeah, it's something that you do when you're 19.
I'm gonna go. RG3 is tremendously skilled. He's a little, I mean, I think this, like you said, him putting this everywhere and actually wanting it to be seen, he's a little immature. He may not be a leader. I think that's why he has some trouble with some veterans. I mean, Santana Moss is not listening to RG3, you know what I mean? So as a leader, I'm gonna go that. But as an overall prospect in the league, and I think he's too skilled to say that he's not this. You know, he's got the arm. He can make plays. I've seen him lead games. I've seen him win games from behind, and I think that's a big thing I think that's a big thing that you got to do. He's, you know, been in the league 2 years. He's already made a playoff appearance. So for me, he's this. Immaturity. Hopefully as he grows and does a few things, then he can get rid of some of those knocks on him.
Hopefully, I'm almost inclined to go that. I've been impressed with it. You're right. Like, from a physical tool standpoint, he does have it. But, between the ears, man, I don't know if this guy has what it takes to lead. I don't know if this guy That's what it takes to galvanize a team or a locker room. I don't know if this guy.
What's the comparison, though? I mean, he's tough. He played on a blown out knee. Who's somebody that's had all the tools and just been a head case or too immature? Give me a comparison.
Brian Leaf.
Well, that's an extreme comparison.
I mean, but he did have all the tools, and he was immature and a head case.
But RG3's already had more success than Ryan Leaf.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not making that comparison. I'm not comparing him to Ryan Leaf. You asked me to answer a question.
Yeah, no. I hear you. I'm going to think of one while you talk.
But, no, I mean, I hope he gets all those things together. Like, I can't see Tom Brady giving a damn what the haters are saying about him. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to have more of that. Like, every week he steps up in the press conference and he says something that he shouldn't say. He's always trying to defend himself. Like, great players don't have to do that. He should just be able to go play. Like, the reason he's getting all this backlash is because he won't shut his mouth. Shut your mouth and play. Like, get off of Twitter. Get off of Facebook. And play football. And until he starts doing that, I think he's going to have more trouble. And as of right now, from what I've seen, just from a sheer lack of maturity, I'm going to say that.
So in 5 years, he has how many playoff wins?
Zero.
Ouch.
Probably because that team's going to be bad. I can't see the – like, Jay Gruden's not the answer. And as long as – you know, it's kind of one of those deals. As long as Dan Snyder's running that team, they'll be –
I don't know if you want to take a break or we just transition into coaching hires, but that's a bad hire.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll transition into coaching hires and then.
I mean, are we going to talk some other sports? I thought this was all things sports, not all things NFL.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk A-Rod.
I'll talk some A-Rod.
We'll talk some A-Rod. We'll take a break. We're going to talk coaching hires, some other stuff. We're going to get into A-Rod, and then we'll be back on all things sports.
I'm a champion, realize check mechanism. Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rap. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. Be the someone who gives their time. Be the someone who lends an ear. Be the someone who takes a step. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, asking you to join the fight against sexual violence and volunteer in your community. Log on to RAIN.org, that's RAINN.org, to learn how you can be the someone.
This message brought to you by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network and this station.
What's up, cool world? My name is Serenatus Penn, and I welcome you to my blog review sessions where I interview artistic, ambitious individuals just like you and me who want the world to know about their skills and talents. Check out my site, The Real Profiles of Rising Artistic Icons, at www.famousbynature.blogspot.com for my latest cover features, videos, and photos of my guests and how you can subscribe and join to be the first to know about my next artist on the rise. You never know. You may be my next spotlight guest. Be a part of our future creators at Serenatus Penn Blog Review, where the talent starts and finishes with you.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Wash that out, baby. Make it hot, baby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the Off-Scene Sports. LL Cool J had a birthday this weekend. Mr. Miller, how old is LL Cool J? Do you know?
LL is in his 50s.
LL is
50.
46.
Come on, man.
LL is 46. I feel like you said about us 40-year-olds, those 40-somethings, like you think we all just look 50. Do we all just look 50?
LL was rapping in 86. I mean, that was 30 years ago. He can't be 50.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess he was, what, 16? Yeah, he had to be 16 when he was...
I call bullshit on that.
I mean...
I don't know if I can say that on air, but... LL, you got to check your stats. LL is not 46.
LL was born... It says he was born in 1969. That would make him 46.
All right. Well, then he was 16, rapping... rapping in 86.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I'm actually shocked it's your rap knowledge. You're right. He did make his debut album in 86. I was in high school. You were like 5.
Well, you know, I went into the archives, Throwback Thursday, something like that. I don't know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're going to get into some of these coaching hires. Today, Ken Whisenhunt got hired, and Jim Caldwell got hired by the Live. I'm going to turn it over to my Lions
guru technician. All things sports,
Lions expert,
2014.
Chris Miller, to give me what he thinks of the Jim Caldwell hire.
I don't think this will surprise anybody, but the Lions will be in the playoffs in 2014. Now, with that said, the Jim Caldwell hire is not jumping off the page. I didn't do a backflip when I heard it. I said, really? But the more I think about it, we need a guy that can come in and rein Stafford in and get him to do some things. Because basically every other piece is in place. I can't figure out why more people weren't jumping at that job. I don't know all the candidates out there. I just didn't feel like I was hearing enough names. I was hearing a lot of retreads. And people got to Bill O'Brien early. I really would have liked to see him go there. That was my top choice.
Well, I heard, not to cut you off, but I heard one of the reasons why people shied away from that job is because the Lions brass didn't want to give up too much control over personnel decisions.
Well, and that may be, but they seem to kind of have that under control now, and they had problems there in the past where they got people in there that are
Matt Millen.
Yeah, exactly. So you got Martin Mayhew in there now, and then I even seen our guy was interviewing for the Dolphins. Our player personnel guy was interviewing for the Dolphins GM job. So we got some good minds in there right now, and I think bringing Caldwell in. I think it's a good hire. I think, you see what he can do with Matthew Stafford. I think that's why the hire was made. He's a guy, he doesn't jump off the page. I think he was 26 and 22 in Indianapolis. And, he was part of a team that was pretty much undefeated. They sat everybody the last week and then missed out on an undefeated season. And then kind of followed that up with a season where they were able to get Andrew Luck with the first pick in the draft and were terrible. So, he's had his ups and downs, but I think he's a good offensive mind. He's been to 3 Super Bowls. Those of you who don't know, he was the quarterback's coach when Baltimore won their Super Bowl.
And he
coordinated down the stretch. They promoted him.
And I mean, they got better when he took over last year too.
Right, and they had some struggles this year, but so be it. I think he'll garner respect in the locker room, and I think he'll be a good hire. I think. The Lions, for whatever reason, I don't know what happened there. As a fan of the team, I kind of watched what happened from a distance, and I don't know what happened, but that was a team that has a ton of talent, and we need to add some help in the back seven of the defense, and other than that, every piece is there. The O-line is good, the backs are good, the receivers, we need another receiver, but the receivers are good, Megatron's there. There's a quarterback in place that can go, and hey, mark my word, Lions are going to make some hay in the playoffs next year. So,
I think he's definitely an upgrade over what you had. I like the fact that he does have, you know, he was the quarterback coach in Indy before he became the head coach, so he does have experience working with really good quarterbacks. He was the quarterback coach and then became the offensive coordinator in Baltimore last year. So
he seems a little soft from a distance, too.
I would say his personality seems a little, like, and don't get me wrong, I personally, and, you know, you could probably speak more to this because maybe you've seen more Lions games than I have. I think all that talk about, like, you know, how undisciplined they are undisciplined, but I think that whole thing is kind of, to me, overrated. I don't think, like, you know, people say, well, they should have went out and hired a disciplinarian. Like, I don't think you need that. I just think you need a guy who, you know, who doesn't mind saying, hey, if you're going to do that, you need to, you know, come sit down for a little bit or, you know. I think he'll get all that cleaned up. I don't think you need, like, a Bill Cowher type to come in and yell a lot to get all that cleaned up. I think he can get all that cleaned up. And I think all that is just being more organized. Like, the Lions, whenever I saw them from game to game, they didn't look organized. Stafford didn't look like he had a plan every game. The game plan seemed to be like, you know, get the ball to Megatron at all costs. Can't win like that. So I think that
– No, and that's been a problem for 2 years. That's the missing link there, too. They got to go receiver in the first two rounds. It sounds crazy because they did that for so long. But they got to go receiver in the first two rounds, and that'll be that. So and I'll say this, too. I was excited. A lot of the people on TV had tabbed Ken Whisenhunt as the top choice there. And I wasn't excited about that either. So I don't see him as a – this guy's a better quarterback guy, and that's really kind of like the Lions draft. They wanted somebody to coach the quarterback, and I think they got that. So for what they're trying to do or what they said they wanted to do, it looks like they have a plan in place, and it looks like it was the right hire.
I will say this about Whisenhunt, however. I was on – actually, strangely enough, I'm on this message board that I never actually talk on. I just read other people's comments. And the Cardinal fans are actually killing the Whisenhunt hire, which surprised me. But I will say this, if there's any Cardinal fans out there listen, say what you want about Whisenhunt, but your team was irrelevant before he got here. And you weren't filling up that stadium. Nobody was going to games. Maybe you could say that had nothing to do with him. Maybe you could, you know, whatever. But, like, no one was going to games. You were the worst franchise in team sports, possibly, and he took you to a Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm not saying he's a great coach, but I hate to hear Cardinals fans, like, try to, you know, say things about Whisenhunt because you were nothing. I mean, the Cardinals were literally nothing before he got here. And you could say that had nothing to do with him or not, but he was the head coach when this franchise went to its only Super Bowl and probably the only Super Bowl is going to go to for the next at least 10 to 15 years.
Cardinal fans are some of the least educated sports fans out there, too. So for them, that may be – for Tennessee, that might be a good thing to hear because they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think all the Cardinal fans should shut up and say nothing. But you're right. Cardinal fans are pretty much not educated about sports. And if you're a Cardinal fan, you're out there listening, you think different? Call me. I'll tell you you're dumb to your face. Moving on. You were going to say something about the Jay Gruden hire.
Yeah, I just don't think it was a good hire. I think, you know, Washington, they could have went a lot of directions there. They got Jay Gruden, who, you know, I guess up and coming, you can call him. Brother to John. But, you know, he's an arena coach. I mean, what has he really done? And not that I'm not saying because you coach in the Arena League, that doesn't mean you can't coach in the NFL. He was a guy in Cincinnati that they had Hugh Jackson underneath him because I don't even know that they trusted him to do a coordinator job by himself. And you hire him to lead your franchise, which is in disarray to begin with, where you might want somebody to come in who you trust to we just talked about RG3, somebody you trust to rein him in, to get him to focus on what he needs to do, and stop Facebooking and Twittering and all that. And I just don't think Jay Gruden's the guy. I mean, you know, he's gonna be able to ask his brother questions and, you know, be able to pick his brain there. And I know Bruce Allen's there, and I'm sure that they, you know, I'm sure they wanted a Gruden in there just for that reason, and they know that that John's gonna be able to provide some help there. But to hire for your head coach after you've had years of botch hires, and you've hired, you know, I mean, I probably wouldn't have been saying this if Mike Shanahan had came in there. I mean, Mike Shanahan's a name that, you know, that probably got the fan base excited, and that didn't work out either after, you know, a playoff appearance this year. They were terrible. But I don't know. I don't see what Jay Gruden. He, you know, having watched Hard Knocks and things, it looked like him and Hugh Jackson kind of had a 50-50 share of that, even though he was the title man there. And after the playoff performance that they had, it just seems like he was given that job because of his name.
I think Washington is going to
– their ownership is terrible.
I think they're going to struggle to get good coaches there for the duration. I think you've had, one guy is in the Hall of Fame. You had two other potentially Hall of Fame coaches go there and leave because they weren't allowed to do what they wanted to do. Like, Marty Schottenheimer was ran out of there after 1 year. He flat out couldn't get along with Snyder and Medlin. Shanahan, you could say, you know, he's probably not a Hall of Famer, but the guy who's won Super Bowls. The owner takes the side of the quarterback, does too much meddling. Joe Gibbs came back, couldn't deal with, you know, Joe Gibbs, who basically
– legend.
Yeah, legend for the Redskins for 20 years, came back. He can't deal with – like, if you can't let Hall of Fame guys or potential Hall of Fame guys run the program – what chance does Jay Gruden have in that program? And I think that the same thing that happened to Jim Zorn is going to happen to Jay Gruden. Like, he's 1 or 2 years, and then he's going to run him out of there too. Like, I agree. I think that ownership is so bad that you're just going to keep running into the same problems over and over again. What do you think about my man? What do you think about my guy, Lovie in Tampa Bay?
Lovie's a proven winner. I think that's a good hire for them. They needed a strong, you know, a strong guy, and I think Lovie's that. I don't know who was he ever there in the past. I know he coached in St. Louis.
Yeah, he was there with Dungy.
Right, because he runs the Tampa too. So
yeah, he was there with Dungy.
Yeah, so he knows the landscape. I think that's a good fit. You know, bring the Tampa 2 back to Tampa. Why not?
No, I like it too, and I've always said this about Lovie, even when he was with the Bears. He's got to hire the right offensive coordinator. He's so hands-off with the offense that he turns it over to whoever he hires. And when he hired Mike Marks, it was just a debacle. And
Well, that was a desperation. I think that was his offense had been so bad, I think that was a desperation.
Yeah, so who he hires to be his offensive coordinator is huge. Hopefully, they say he's going to hire Jeff Tedford. I don't know what Jeff Tedford's going to be like as a pro coach, but
he knows offense. I think that'd be a good hire.
So, but that's the guy they're talking about getting is Jeff Tedford. So, hopefully that works out. I'm sure. You know, I'm a Lovie guy. You know how I feel about Lovie. So I'm really hoping it does work out. And obviously the guy that I think everybody wanted was Bill O'Brien for the most part. Like after he was, that's why he was the first chip to fail. Do you think he's a good fit in Houston? And how much better do you think he makes that team?
Yeah, I think he comes in. I think he comes in and makes an immediate impact. From everything I've heard, and you know, I mean, we're just guys sitting here doing a radio show, so you know, not that I know, but you know, even when he took the Penn State job, everybody knew he was coming back to the NFL. They said he could have been a head coach in the NFL at that time. A guy that's worked with Tom Brady and different things. So I think he comes in, and you know, the tough part is Kubiak was there prior. And Kubiak's a good offensive coach. I don't think you can argue that. It's just his quarterback fell apart. I don't know what happened to Shaw, but something happened there, and he just fell apart. So, long story short, I think he comes in there and makes a difference immediately. So, I think that's a good thing.
Okay. All right. I'm with that. Like you said, I think they always knew he was coming back to the NFL, so I'm kind of surprised that I'm surprised that Penn State was so shocked and so upset that he left. And two, I'm surprised they hired him in the first place because he's always been primarily an NFL guy. So I think he was just waiting for the best job. He was obviously the hottest guy, I think, this offseason.
And let me ask you this. Where are all the candidates? I mean, there wasn't really all the same names. Wisenhunt was mentioned every place. Where are all the up-and-coming coordinators at?
That's a really good question because I know I kind of got into that with my rant last week about from a college standpoint, there's not a good African-American candidate. But you're right, like there's not a lot of good candidates, period. I can't believe that from a coordinator standpoint, Jay Gruden and Mike Zimmer and those guys, that's the best we can do. Like, there's got to be a hot coordinator out there, a hot college coach that we don't know, we're not thinking about. But it doesn't appear to be.
Right. You look at some of the hires over the past few years. I mean, you know, Pete Carroll came from the college ranks and Harbaugh.
And a lot of retreads.
Right. So I don't understand. I mean, you think of any job that anybody has. I mean, you're looking to promote, and I feel like there should be more coordinator names that we know. I just don't know the problem. It doesn't seem to be a lot of qualified candidates. I know, you know, as a fan of a team that was ready to make a coaching change, as I've seen all the names come up, I really never was like, oh, that's our guy.
Yeah, we
got to
get that guy. You're right.
I even was more excited for Schwartz than I probably am today, even though it wasn't a good fit, and I understand why now. But, you mentioned Zimmer's name. I think Zimmer ultimately, I think he's a good candidate for Minnesota. That's who Minnesota should hire.
But they actually said the reason he hasn't gotten a job before, I guess he's a – and if you watch Hard Knocks, you know this, he's super confrontational. And
but sometimes, I mean, that's not that that's never worked, though.
I think after
– some of these young kids need that.
As much as I like Les Frazier, I think after Les Frazier's regime, you might need a guy to come in and kick some – you know, kick some people in the butt. Like, I think they got a little too lackadaisical there. They made the playoffs last year with a bad team, and this year, a lot of games, they didn't look like they were ready to play. So,
yeah, and it's just, to me, it's a perfect fit. He goes in there, it's a bad defense. Every defense he's been a part of has been top 10, top 12.
Right.
And then you got a running back in place, and play good defense and run the ball. And, you know, in NFL, that's probably going to win you 8 games.
Yeah,
that'd be a quick turnaround for
And
them,
then, you
so.
Know, if you – I don't know how hard they're drafting, but, you know, one of the top guys fall to them. Even though they got, 15 quarterbacks there, they got Freeman and
– Johnny Football.
That's why this or that segment. What do you think of Josh Freeman? Is he ever going to be the Josh Freeman he was 2 years ago or – Is he the Josh Freeman we've seen this year?
Well, I think Minnesota, I think, had high hopes. They signed him and then put him right in there in that Monday night game, and I think he really played himself out of town.
Right.
And I think he showed a lot there. You know, he was given a second chance and really seemed – and not that – you know, they put him in – that was a tough spot. Not that anyone would have excelled there, but he looked – I mean, he looked terrible, as bad as you can look. And – I don't think we'll ever see him starting job. And if he does get a backup job, I don't see him coming in and doing big things.
I won't even use that game as an example. Like even after that game, you know, everybody said he wasn't prepared, he shouldn't have been playing. Whatever you think is the case. However, that was like week 8 or 9. If he could play, they would have known and let him play between 9 and 17. Like, he would have got another chance between week 9 and week 17 because not that division was on the table and they could have done anything, but if he could play, he would have played. I don't know what happened to him after that second year where he threw the 25 touchdown passes and only like 12 interceptions or whatever it was. I don't know if that was – I mean, that was obviously not the real Josh Freeman. This Josh Freeman is probably the real Josh Freeman, but – how does that happen? Like, how do you go from having such a successful year two to being irrelevant in 2 years?
You know, that might be one of those cases, like we talked about with running backs or whatever it is. I mean, he's somebody that made a lot of money at the time.
Right.
You know, got paid. Quarterback, we all know, the quarterback is so much study. It's so much film breakdown. Even if you're ultimately super skilled, that doesn't always work.
Right.
I mean, we've seen the David Carrs of the world and people that have every tool possible and still can't do it. And I just think, he probably cashes chips and, he's probably not a guy that wants to work at it. And
he doesn't seem like it. You're right. I think that's it exactly.
Right. Because I think, this year, you get a second chance and you're exiled and they kind of embarrass you. A guy, and like I said, it was a tough spot. Not that he could have came in there and, done great things. But, if I'm embarrassed like that and, kicked out of town, I'm going to do everything I can to come out there and
if
show.
If nothing else, to show you.
Show something.
So
and it looked like he was terrible.
Yeah, he was bad.
And I'm not trying to put it all on one game, but I think that shows a little bit of his character. It just shows that he could care less. He just wanted to cash another check.
Right. All right, we got about a little bit less than 10 minutes left. We're going to talk about A-Rod for a little bit. What do you think of this whole A-Rod thing? Is he right? Is MLB right? Is he just, what do you think?
Well, I would be interested to hear what you have to say as far as even asking me the question. Is he right? Right about what? I mean, he's a guy he's been a PD his entire career.
Well, I mean, some will say the argument about whether he's right or not is they went from, they collectively bargained a step process.
Oh, as far as him not taking the
right.
Not,
he hasn't really failed any drug tests. They went straight from step one to step three on his first.
Well, yeah, but I think, you got this guy that did the little 60 Minutes interview, the guy that was doing it for him, and every other player on that list took their suspension, which pretty much, I get where he's coming from. I'm not taking a suspension if I'm not guilty.
Right.
But the fact that everyone else that was on the list that he was on took their suspension means you're guilty.
They all took 50 games, though.
I understand, but that's how the process works, and this is a second or third violation for him. So,
but he's never. Well, I see what you're saying.
I mean,
his
argument
he failed
the anonymous test.
Yeah, but the anonymous test was supposed to be anonymous.
I understand, but that doesn't change. He's a guy. I mean, I can't jump on board with him.
I'm not defending A-Rod. I'm just saying this is his story. This is his side of it.
You're defending the American way.
Well, I mean, I was defending the process. I mean, if you collectively bargain a process, then, I think the players' union should fight to uphold the process. They collectively
bargain. Well, I hear you, but baseball's trying to do what they have to do. They did the same thing in a roundabout way to Barry Bonds, where this is going to end A-Rod's career.
Right.
No one's ever going to sign him again. He's not going to play another game in the league. Baseball, although A-Rod's a giant and has made $25 million for about, what has he made that for, about 16 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
He's got plenty of money to fight it. Baseball is bigger than he is, and ultimately.
No, we've seen the last of A-Rod.
They're going to squash this, and they're ultimately going to win out in court. This guy, man, I got no respect for this guy. He came out, he did those commercials with kids, and, he admitted to his use or whatever when they had the anonymous test. He said, okay, blah, blah, blah. You'll never see this again. This guy's been using PDs for 20 years.
I
understand. We can go.
That's a proof. Some people say he's been using it all the way since back in his high school days in Miami, some people believe.
Right, and we can go into the culture of baseball. I mean, this is a long conversation. Baseball allowed it. It wasn't illegal. And something that's not illegal, I mean, as a person that I am, if you're telling me I can get better at something that's not illegal in the sport, that I may well have done it myself. So I'm not ostracizing the guy, but once it was made illegal, and you're still doing it, you're still taking.
That's kind of
you enlisted someone to tell you exactly when to take it and how to beat tests.
That's kind of what his.
You're a fraud.
His biggest issue.
A-Rod.
His biggest problem is that, in many people's mind, the steroid issue is like something that's 10 years ago. And this guy is still trying to beat every test, still trying to gain advantages. Like
he had all that money. He's to get the best of the best.
He is probably,
Did you see the 60 Minutes interview?
I didn't see it, but I heard it was very damaging.
It was funny. I'll give his name is Anthony Bosch.
I believe him.
Oh, I believe him. Oh, I definitely believe
him.
And, Man, he never obtained a medical degree, or but he got one in Guatemala or something. But
right.
That was a smart dude. I mean, he did. He knew by your – he studied by your exact body weight of how long it would take your body to process certain things. And that was a smart guy. I definitely believe him because he was super intelligent and well-spoken.
So we've seen the last of – okay.
Yeah, we definitely – that's not a question enough for debate. A-Rod will never play a major league game again.
So – I mean, that would imply that there's collusion in baseball. We all know there is, but they say
we all
not.
Know there is, yeah. I know last week we made our guests a little bit uncomfortable with a few questions we asked. And, you know, those unions are strong and the different things that go along with Major League Baseball. But, yeah, there's collusion. I mean, Barry Bonds was still a good player when they told him he couldn't come back. So.
And the funny thing about it was he broke the record. He hit like 31 home runs that year. Like you said, was still a good player. Could have DH'd for any American League team and been successful. And just no one offers him a contract. That's collusion. Right?
Right. Yeah. So it exists, but, you know, so be it. You seen a recent picture of Barry?
Skinny.
Oh, my goodness.
He's skinny.
Skinny.
Yeah, he's skinny, skinny.
I need to get inspired.
Whatever you do. Well, he said, I saw him in an interview, his new girlfriend is an Olympic cyclist. So he says all he does is ride bikes with her, and that's how he lost all his weight. We know that's not true, but that's how he said he lost all his weight.
He was so big. He had the best of the best, him and A-Rod.
Nah, to Barry's defense, you can draw a timeline between when he started using and when he wasn't using, pretty much. I would say he started using the 99. After with 98, that's the McGuire associate.
Yeah.
I would say he was skinny, and then 99, his head exploded.
Right.
So.
Man, it's that testosterone. That's, look how much of a difference that makes. And,
it's crazy.
Man, that stuff works. I know a lot of people make that argument. Oh, well, he was a Hall of Famer this and that before, but man, that stuff makes a difference.
Definitely. Anyone who says, I've heard people say, oh, it doesn't rip. No.
You'll be surprised, too. I know a lot of it doesn't get reported, but there are so many minor league cats that test positive for it.
Right.
And, I mean, who can blame them? If you're not going to make it, you may as well try to beat the system and try to get a couple checks at the very least.
No kidding. I'm about to say, if you're a third baseman and a guy who the organization has in front of you is using, then why wouldn't you try to use and, you know, hit a few more home runs and let somebody see you and move up front? I'm not, especially in the 80s and 90s, I ain't mad at nobody who did it, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't want to see. Hopefully, A-Roy, he's kind of he likes to be in the spotlight, so hopefully we don't see any. At least Barry is kind of rode off in the sunset. And you haven't heard a bunch of complaints
right.
And crying. And just take your medicine, A-Rod, please.
I think, though, and we're running out of time here, but Barry's never been I want to be on camera type dude. I think A-Rod always has been. I think
right.
Barry.
That's why I'm getting, we'll go through this next couple weeks and we'll see how his little lawsuit goes. But after that, I don't want to hear from the guy.
All right. We have about 2 minutes, so no real time for rants. Quick question. With the 2 minutes we have left, are you happy or unhappy with the All-Star, Hall of Fame, people who got in the Hall of Fame? Are you okay or you're not okay or anybody you think should have got in, didn't get in, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I mean, with BGO being 2 votes away, I think BGO should have probably got in and probably will on the next ballot. Other than that, I'm okay.
Big Frank.
Yeah, Big Frank getting in there. And he got in there being a first ballot. I think, you know, shoot, that's important to him. And I didn't necessarily expect that, but I also don't have a problem with
it. I was shocked, one, because he did play a lot of games at DH, and they seemed pretty clear about keeping DHs out of the Hall of Fame. And for as big as he is, he was never implicated in any substance whatsoever. Like,
and a lot of people were just putting those guys guilty by association.
Right.
You play that, and
I was really surprised that he wasn't guilty by any association at all. Like, he's huge.
I was too, and just he got a pretty high number. So
yeah, so
it caught me off guard. Definitely, but I'm okay with it.
He came in the league big, though, so maybe that's part of it. Like, he wasn't in the league and then got big.
I hope Piazza eventually gets in. I know there was a little mention of him, but I think he's, you know,
he'll get in.
Hitting catcher of all time. Got to let him get in.
He'll get in. BGO, on the list of people who didn't get in this year, he'll get in. BGO will get in.
And I want Boss to get in.
I want Boss, Clemens, Bagwell, all those guys to get in. If you didn't regulate
that. Bagwell is not a Hall of Famer.
I don't think
that.
Actually, you're right.
I argued that with a buddy on my softball team. He kind of said the same thing, that Bagwell, I don't see, Bagwell is not a Hall of Famer to me, but.
I agree. He only had like maybe a 5-year spike in his career.
He's got to be. He's a PD guy, so keep him out of there. I know we're out of time. Did you see the defensive coordinator real quick? You see the defensive coordinator hired for Oregon, another in-house guy?
No.
He's been there 30-plus years. They don't hire anyone that's not in-house, and I haven't heard any of this on any show or anywhere. But they don't get anyone that's not in-house or was a graduate assistant at one time. There's something going on there that no one's allowed to come in from an outside place because I think everything would get turned over. But they're paying people up there. Let's
come
be
on,
honest.
Man. All that Nike money up there in Oregon.
Yeah, they're not, but they're keeping secrets because they haven't. I mean, when a job like that opens, you've seen with the USC, the Washington, all the talk on these shows. When the Oregon job opened last year, they just were like, all right, we got another guy. He's hired. And then absolutely retires after 30 years there, and then they hire the DB/linebacker coach that's been there. He's been a coach for 23, been at Oregon for 30 years as a player, and then grad assistant, been a coach for 23 years.
So. I know we're over time, but real quick, can they really just go into L.A. every year and get, like, the fastest running back that state that California has to offer every year and not be paying players?
I hear you.
Leaving L.A. to go to Oregon unless I'm getting something.
That was my rant. As far as I think you're going to see at some point, someday, that shit is
going
to come crashing down.
They're going down at some point. All right, that's it for All Things Sports. We're over time. This is Big Mike. See, Miller, we had a good time this week. I hope to see you like our new segment with this or that. We'll try to come up with new hot topics going forward. And that's it for another week. We'll see you next week, All Things Sports. Thanks again.